This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm going to start a series. I'm going to do this in May. Every year I do a series, or at least I have for the past few years, and I'm going to do one this year again on the Holy Spirit. And it's a series that I do because I feel like it's probably one of the most important series that we do. And because we have people who come here from all backgrounds and all walks of life. And so I'm going to do a series called Another Helper. Now, if you're saying, Alan, I've already heard your series before, I promise you, because God's Word is unique and because it's full of life, every time I do a series, even though I can take some of the same topics, how many of you know that different stuff will come out? And so, and then here's the big picture. The big picture is we don't know anything like we ought to know. If you ever talk to someone, you go, do you ever read your Bible? They go, I read it. Don't ever say that to me. Just don't do it. Just no, the idea is, yeah, you can read it, but you can always get more out of it. How many of you have ever read a verse that you've known just for a long time, and you just read it, and all of a sudden just something jumps at you, and you saw it in a different light? God's Word's alive. It's powerful. And so we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit, and I want to jump in. Now, we're going to do something also different. Chris, are we taping this? We're going to tape this, aren't we? I want to make it available because we have a lot of people that come on Sundays and they either can't come on Wednesdays or it doesn't work in their schedule. And so we're actually going to tape this and start making classes out of that. We've looked at other ministers and we've looked at their stuff. And finally, we determined, well, I'm the senior pastor. Let's use my stuff. And the whole reason is I don't have to explain anything. I know what I'm preaching. So we're going to tape it. So you're the studio audience. So a little enthusiasm is appreciated. Don't give me. You notice I said a little. I didn't say just overwhelming. So let's pray, and then we will start this series. I intended for it to run in the month of May. So May is a good month to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful to you. We are thankful for your Holy Spirit. We are thankful for your Word, which is life to us. We are thankful that Jesus bought and paid for everything that we need from you. And so we're grateful for that. Tonight, I ask that you would give me words to speak that bring life, that bring insight, that bring help. We thank you for your anointing and the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Lord, tonight we just ask that our hearts would be open, our ears would be open, that we hear things we haven't heard before. Speak through me to bring help here and open our hearts to receive. We'll give you all the praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 16, out of the New American Standard Bible is going to be our text, and so I'll read that typically every time. And this is where I'm actually getting the name of this series. Jesus is speaking. He's talking to his disciples right before he goes to the cross, right before he ascends back up into heaven, and he says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. In fact, this series is called Another Helper. But there's some real interesting things. I got five key phrases that Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit. He is literally a godsend. So let's look at five things that Jesus said just in this one passage to give us insight into the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you. So the Father gives us the Holy Spirit, which makes him a gift to us. And the reason I say that's important is because we treat gifts differently than things we just happen to find. Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give you. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. The second thing, and this is a real key word. I don't use too many Greek words. I don't know Greek. I can't read Greek. I can look in a concordance. But this is an interesting word, the word another. It's the Greek word allos, which that and about $2.50 will buy you a small cup of coffee at Starbucks, possibly. But allos, A-L-L-O-S, it's a Greek word that means another of the same kind. Now, that's important because when Jesus is speaking, he's talking to them. He said, I'm going to give you another helper. The actual Greek means one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. So he's telling them, I'm going to give you another helper. Let me give you, I wanted to make this point clear because it's really important. This never happened in my family, but it's happened in some families. Phone call comes in one night, and you pick it up. You look on the ID, and it's your daughter, and you pick it up, and she goes, "Daddy, I wrecked the car." First question is what?
Are you okay?
Exactly right. Thank you. You answered that right. Are you okay? Second question is, how's the car? You're right. So, and she said, "Daddy, I'm okay, but I totaled the car. I just totaled it." And she's crying and crying and crying. And you say, "That's okay, honey. We'll get you another one." So a few weeks later, after you've haggled with the insurance company, you say, "Sweetheart, come on outside." And she comes outside, and standing right there in the driveway is a brand new bicycle. And she looks at you and she said, "What is this?" And you say, "This is your brand new mode of transportation since you wrecked the other." She said, "No, you said you would get me another." What was she thinking it was going to be?
Car.
Another car. And if I say I'm going to get you another, that means one of the same kind. It is going to be a car. "Darling, I'm going to get you another." When Jesus said, "I'll ask the Father and He will give you another helper," He's saying, "He's just like me." The Lord didn't go, "And here's your new bicycle." We're like, whoa, Jesus was good. Now we get a bicycle? No, Jesus was good, and now we get someone just like Him. That's another helper. That's a genuine helper. That's a lot of help. And so that's why I wanted to entitle this Another Helper. And it's good to find out more about Him. Now, that word helper, here's my second Greek word for the night, and we're done. But it's parakletos. And the reason I get that one is because it's a pretty intensive word. Greek is a very expressive language. It means literally one called to one's side. And it signifies an intercessor, a comforter, a helper, an advocate, a counselor, a strengthener. Someone called alongside to help you. They say if you have more than two good friends, true friends in your lifetime, that you're wealthy. How many of you have friends that you could call them up at any time and they'll take your call? You've got people that you know and they could call you. I got a phone call one night. This was years and years ago. My phone rang. It was 2:00 in the morning. 2:00 in the morning, you're not thinking anything good is going on at 2:00 in the morning. And I picked the phone up and it's my college buddy, John. John and I met when we were freshmen, our very first year. We were buddies all through. We were in the same fraternity. Did a lot of damage together. When I got out and got saved and got filled with the Spirit, John said, "I guess I have to do the same thing." And so he did. Amen. And he could call me today, and as soon as I hear his voice, it's one of those people I can pick up talking like yesterday. I pick up the phone. He goes, "Alan." I went, "What?" He went, "We just had a baby. They had their first child." Aww. And I said, "Man, we rejoiced a little bit." And I'll never forget what he said when he got off the phone. He said, "I knew I could call you." Why? Because we're that close a friend. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is even closer than that? Amen. That He's called alongside us to help us. And I love the fact that we have someone. We oftentimes in our Christian life, too many people, we feel like we're alone, that we can't do this, we can't handle this. And this is why we need to study the helper. Because when we recognize how much help we have, it makes all the difference in the world. If you're doing a big job, how many of you know it's good to have good help? I told about my parents and having to move them. When I came in on a Monday, my parents I had to move them and get them out of their apartment, get their stuff consigned, get some of their stuff donated, get their stuff moved, and then in a storage. I had a lot to do, and I had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to do it. Now, if you've ever moved anybody or downsized anybody, that is a huge task. And I went in just thinking, "Oh, Lord." In fact, I kept saying, "Lord, thank you that you're going to help me." He gave me a lady who, that's all she does, is move people. Her, I call it a ministry. She calls it a business. It's called Pull It Together. I'm like, I love that. because I couldn't do that job on my own, but I had help. And just knowing I had help takes a lot of pressure off. He was like, I got help. We can do this. We got help. Jesus said, I'm going to give you someone just like me. He's another helper. He's called alongside of you to help you. That's good news. That is huge good news. But he's not even done. He said that he may abide with you or live with you. He said he will come to you. He may be with you. Now, other word actually means to live with. That he will stay with you. Now, I love this. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. Some people have taught that. Well, oh man, I sinned and the Holy Spirit left me. No. He did not leave you. Because Jesus said he will stay with you forever. Forever is a good word. So, Alan, I've been bad and I've been away from God for years. Do you realize the Holy Spirit never left you? Yeah, you felt miserable. But you know, as soon as you made a decision to come back, he was right there. I've often said, and you've heard me tell the stories. You say, Alan, I've heard some of your stories before. Some of the people on tape haven't heard them. So we're going to tell them again. But I can remember being away from God, got saved, got filled with the Spirit. I was 19, went to college, fell away. Long story. When I got out of college, I had gone up to I was training with a company, Bluebell. Not the ice cream. Everyone grinned. You say Bluebell, and people just start smiling like, oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is the gene maker, not the ice cream maker. Hang on, guys. We'll be out of here in 20 minutes. You can eat then. All right, so I remember going, and I went and I trained. It was, I partied. Nobody in this town knew me, so I partied hard. I found all the party people, and I did as much damage as I could in that town. It was not a high water mark morally for me. And I remember coming back home. I'm in the car. It's a beautiful day, like yesterday. And it was just a gorgeous day. And I'm driving down the road. And I'm really far away from God for some reason. I couldn't pick up anything on the radio, so I decided to sing a few songs. Windows rolled down. No one could hear me. I'm not recording. I'm just singing and enjoying myself. And as I sang some songs, for some reason, I decided to sing a hymn. And I began to sing Amazing Grace. And I began to sing Amazing Grace. And I appreciate the fact that my helper never left me. Even though I was so far away from God, he didn't abandon me. When I began to sing Amazing Grace, as soon as I made just a little turn towards him, I want to tell you something, that car filled up. And it wasn't with my voice. It filled up with the presence of God. And I remember riding down the road just as backslidden as I could be, with tears streaming down my face, singing Amazing Grace. And the Holy Spirit's probably laughing, going, yeah, we're about to reel you in, son. This is about over with. He's just like, set that hook. That was in September. In October, I met a dark-haired Italian girl. And 6 weeks later, I was back in fellowship with God. Now, that ought to give us some understanding about how to pray for people who you know who have had a relationship with the Lord and gone away. One, they're miserable. They're doing everything they can to dumb it down and to tamp it down, but they're still miserable. So just pray. And don't pray, oh, Holy Spirit, make them miserable. They're already miserable. That's not his job. Holy Spirit, help convict them of their need to come back to God. Help convince them that God will take them back and that they can have a relationship with him. He's a wonderful helper. Jesus said in John 16:7, he was talking to the disciples and he said this, I tell you the truth, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's always been a phrase that has amazed people. Like, why would Jesus tell these disciples who had depended on him for everything for years, why would he tell them, it's to your advantage that I go away? Because Jesus was one, when he came in the flesh, he was in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit can be within every one of us, everywhere, all the time. It's an advantage, and it's a huge advantage. So Jesus began to talk about it. Now, why I learned about the Holy Spirit? Here's the first thing we want to learn about him, because the more we can understand who he is, understand who he is. He really is the forgotten part of the Godhead. People talk about what we love. We'll love the Lord and we love God. We can talk about a Father God. We can relate to Jesus. But when people talk about the Holy Spirit, you got some people going, I know he's out there. It's kind of like Casper the Ghost. I know he's out there, but I'm just not sure what he is. And so he's all forgotten. So the more you find out about him, that he is a divine personality, that he does have characteristics, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And when we begin to find that out, the more you know him. Now, many of you know this. How many of you have been married for more than 10 years? How many of you have found out something that you've been married to someone for over 10 years and you find out something new? And you go, I never knew that. Joy and I were doing something, it was last year. We've been married 35. And I looked at her and said, I didn't know that. I said, how many of you realize that you can know somebody, but you can always find out a little bit more about them? So the more you find out, how many of you know we have not known God? We will spend the rest of eternity learning to know God. And so learning about the Holy Spirit, the more you know about him, the more you can understand him. Here's the second thing. The more you know him and why I learned about him, you understand how he helps us. If you understand how he helps us, then we're not just managing expectations, we're developing expectations. If you know that there's help available and you know how that help comes, then you start looking for it. So I think here's one of the things I really believe. I believe the Holy Spirit has tried to help us much more than we think he has. And we haven't known how to respond to him. Have you ever tried to help my grandchildren? You're about to get to the stage, guys, where you're going to hear grandchildren's story. Because my oldest one is now 2-something, and she's really starting to interact. And so this is fun. It's really fun because after she interacts a while, she goes home with her parents. I'm like, Glory, I like this. This is good. This is really good. But sometimes I'll try to help her do something. Have you ever tried to help a toddler do something and they don't want you to help them? You're like, do it myself. It's like, I'm looking at her and go, you're doing it totally wrong. She doesn't totally care. But she will do it. And all kids are like that. No, you can't help them. No, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it myself. I think a lot of times we're that way with God. God's like, I'll help you with that. We're like, nyeh. How about you? So we wind up getting dressed. You know, sometimes when these kids dress themselves, they come like, whoa, I didn't know you could put that color and that plaid and all that stuff together. That's unique looking. You're very unique today. And I'm sure the Lord looks at us and go, you know, I'd have helped you dress and then you wouldn't look so unique. But if the more we respond to his help, the more we know how he's helping, it makes a difference in how he can help us in our life. Here's the third one. And this is real. Understand how we can access his help. So if I know the Holy Spirit's a helper to me, how can I get more help? There are some people he helps more than other people. And it's not because God's a respecter of persons. It's because some people are like, I'm looking to him for help and I'm going to get help. So how do we access? And we'll talk about that. That's in the series. I want to just take a little bit of understanding about this. The lack of understanding. Why do we want to learn about the Holy Spirit? A lack of understanding about the Holy Spirit has created problems. Now, I can talk to this. This is right down my cup of tea, but the Holy Spirit is often only identified with certain groups of Christians. And either they wear too much makeup or not enough. And people have looked at some people at Christian television and said, oh. Or they've looked at some people who come from just a what I call O-line Pentecostal, where you couldn't wear any makeup, nothing. Yeah, you're looking at me like, oh, yes, deliver me. And so... Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is only associated with different groups of Christians, and we're going to find out that's not the case. The Holy Spirit, let me be real clear on this, because I realize we have people that come from all different backgrounds. The Holy Spirit does not make anyone weird. I'm going to repeat that. The Holy Spirit will not make you weird. So I know some weird people who are like Holy Spirit people. They were weird before the Holy Spirit came into their life. Now, if you're honest, you know there are all kinds of weird people who never step a foot in church. And then they get saved and they come to church and they bring their weirdness right in here with them. That's what That's what makes us such a wonderful group. We're like a big stew. There is this, we're like gumbo, baby. There's stuff coming in from all different angles. Might as well just buckle up and enjoy the ride. But let me show. 2 Timothy says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He's not given us a spirit of fear. So He's given us, the Holy Spirit enables people to carry out the work of God. That's power. He prompts and leads us to love one another. That's Jesus' commandment. That's love. He's causing us to have sound judgment and a sound mind or discipline. The Holy Spirit does not make you weird. He actually will make you sound. Give you sound counsel. He's weird. Now, Joy and I have been married for 35. We've walked together with the Lord for 35. I would classify us as pretty vanilla. We're not really flamboyant. Joy doesn't have huge hair and a lot of makeup. I don't wear purple suits. I have someone that's kind of an off pink that y'all have told me about a lot. But the idea is if you follow or lean or yield to the Holy Spirit, you become a weird person. It's not true. Not at all. And so even though I've seen some weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit, it was just weird people acting up. Here's the thing. The enemy has used the Holy Spirit to create division in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to listen to it because I want to say it in context. The Holy Spirit's not the dividing line in the body of Christ. There really should not be a dividing line in the body of Christ. There's nothing like a little emphasis when I say something. You planned that with the lighting guys. No, I didn't. Look what Jesus said in Luke. Jesus is talking in Luke. He said, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one house will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. You know who the dividing line is? It's Jesus. Now just stop and think for a moment. How many of you had some division when you made Jesus your Lord and you told people, family or friends, that you had become a Christian, you were going to church? How many of you actually had some people divide off from you? Jesus is the dividing line. Jesus is the one where in one household you can have someone that says, "I'm saved," and you can have other people go, "Don't bring that stuff in here." Jesus is the dividing line. He's the one. And so we're really, there's two groups. Those who have accepted Him and those who have not. Thank God we're in the group. Hopefully you're in the group. If you're not, you can do that in the group that have accepted Him. And if you have, then we're in what the Bible calls the body of Christ. And there should be some unity there. Ever bump into somebody? Maybe you're at Walmart, you bump into them, and they go, "Oh, you go, I am so sorry." And they go, "Oh, praise God, I'm okay, it's all right." And you go, "Oh, praise God, you're a believer?" They go, "Yeah, I'm a believer."
Yep.
And y'all just sit there and talk. You love the Lord? Love the Lord. Lord is good. Yes, He's good. Yes, He's good. Every day, yes, He's good. You can have a great time talking until somebody asks the magic question. What is that? What church do you go to? I go, "The Ark." Where do you? And they go, "Oh." And fellowship has flown out the window right there. Some lady one time was talking to Joy. She said, Joy said something about, or someone, she was in a store and someone said, "Do you go to the Ark?" And Joy goes, "Huh?" She said, "I know some people that go there. I hear it's a good church." Joy goes, "Uh-huh." I do that to people too. It's like, "Oh yeah. You go there? I go there. I do." But it's a divide. Isn't it a shame? It is a dividing line. It shouldn't be a dividing line. But what happens is doctrine becomes a dividing line. Now look, Paul was talking to the group at Corinth, and he said the church should be united. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." Listen, guys, we are never all going to agree on doctrine. We're never all going to agree on teaching, but here's one thing we ought to be united in. We ought to be united that Jesus Christ is Lord and the world needs Him, and we need to reach as many people as we can for Him. That ought to be enough right there. One mind, one purpose. Doesn't mean we all have to go to the same place. I'm not saying we all have to go to the same church. I'm not saying everyone has to come here. It's obvious that they don't. We couldn't hold the county if they did. But our thought and our purpose is we want to reach people for Christ. Amen. And you say, well, I go to another church or I go to a Baptist church. You're not my enemy. You go to some other church, you're not. In fact, we're family. Now, you may consider us the crazy uncles of the family, but we're family. The bottom line is, when we all get to heaven, how many of you know they're not going to break us off? I've got the Baptist over here, all the Charismatics over here, the Assemblies of over here. Lutherans, we're glad you're here. We really are. We're glad you're here. No. The idea is there should be unity. Holy Spirit's not the dividing line. And when Paul began to write to the church, he said this in 1 Corinthians 1. He continues the thought, verse 12 and 13. Look what he says. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others say, I follow Apollos. I follow Peter. I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were not any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. So what's he saying, guys? Listen, we're not all going to agree. We're not all going to interpret Scripture the same way. But if we belong to the Lord, we're all one family. So oftentimes, I'll share, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some of you come from backgrounds where it's like, that's taboo. All I ask is, if you have any trust in me, if you know me, if you have any trust in me, just hear me out for the series. I'll give you Scriptures. I'm not going to give you just my thought. I'll give you Scriptures for this. Because we have a saying around here, don't get mad, get Scripture. So find Scripture for it, not tradition. Now, next week, I'll allude to this just a little bit more. But that's the idea. Just we'll go through Scriptures. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit and what His role is. Some of you, again, some of you come from backgrounds where we're like, oh, we don't believe in that. Just hear me out. And here's the deal. You hear me out, and at the end you go, ah, I don't want any part of that. You know, the good news is God never forces Himself on anyone. He doesn't do it. Just think about it. If He did, He would force people to get saved. And we'd all go into the millennial tomorrow. He doesn't force anyone. Aren't you glad? He always gives us a choice. So we'll talk about that and we'll go through that. I always like this. In fact, I got excited studying for this again because I always enjoy learning more about the Holy Spirit because I know I need His help. If this church did not have His help, we would not exist. There'd be no way. He's the power source behind it. Now, we're going to pray in just a moment. And then before you leave, I got to do one thing because our Sunday group, we took up a special offering. And we want to give you a chance, especially if you weren't here on Sunday, to do that as well. But let's pray first. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you so much for these people who came out in the rain. Father, who came because they honor you and value you. Tonight, we value your word. We value your Holy Spirit. We value what you have done in our lives, and we thank you for it. So, Father, we just thank you that you will enlighten us, that you'll help us, that we can learn and grow during this time. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, you know, when I came in here, I knew in my heart I was not right with God, but I wanted to be. Maybe you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, or maybe you've done that and you've gotten away from Him. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. I'm not going to try to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here tonight and you say, Alan, I would like for somebody to pray for me. I want to come back to God, or I really want to know in my heart that I'm right with God, that I have Jesus Christ in my heart. If that's you that I'm talking to, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you slip your hand up just across this auditorium. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Wonderful. Thank you. Great. Anybody else? Appreciate those hands. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand and you thought you missed your chance. You did not. God sees your hand, but He also sees your heart. You can pray this from the heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. You're not alone here. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, is the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.